Let's read the book of Revelation, chapter 3. This is the message from Jesus to the church in Philadelphia. Let's all stand and read the words together. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. When he opens, no one can shut, and what he shut, no one can open. I know your deeds, see? I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogues of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I'll also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to. Let's pray. Jesus, you are holy and you are true. And you hold the key of David. Thank you for the message to the church in Philadelphia. And this is also the word that you are speaking to us today. May your Holy Spirit come and guide us into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many years ago, there was a very popular movie named Dead Poets Society starring this guy, Robin Williams. How many of you have watched this movie? Okay, I know your age now. Actually, it's a story about a teacher in a boy boarding school and his influence and his impact on his students. He often challenged his students not to remain status quo, but you are willing to take risks so that your life would become extraordinary. And one time he had all the boys looking at all the photos of the past alumni hanging on the wall, and they are long dead. And then this teacher whispered from behind, said, hey, look at them. They are not very different from you, are they? They have the same haircut. They have the same hormone that are raging just like you now. They feel like they are invincible. The world is their oyster. Do you know what that means? I don't know what it means, okay? So the world is your oyster, okay? And you believe, they believe that they are destined for great things. Just like many of you, their eyes are full of hope. However, they wait and wait until it was too late to make any impact on the world, what they are capable of. If you listen closely, you can hear them whisper the legacy to you. Lean in, boy, listen to what they said. Kape. It's not from the ghost, okay? Diem. Kape diem. Seize the day. Make your life extraordinary. Okay, my acting is done. Although this is a very secular movie, but I think there's some truth to it. Seize the day. Make your life extraordinary. Jesus' word to the church in Philadelphia. Today, it's also about seizing the moment, seizing the opportunity. City in the Philadelphia. How many of you have been to the Philadelphia? Only one? No way. Okay, I've never been to Philadelphia, okay? So this is all my research. The brotherly love. And this city is not in Pennsylvania. It was in Asia Minor, in the modern-day Turkey. The city was founded by King Attalos II, and his nickname is Philadelphus, which means he loved his brother dearly. The story goes like this. After King Alexander the Great, after he died, his kingdom was divided into four little kingdoms, and because of that, many little nations tried to rise up and become king. And then the king of Pergamon is one of them. There's two brothers. One brother on the left is Eumenes, who is the older brother, and the one to the right is Attalos, who is the younger brother. The older brother was king, become king first, but he loved the Greek culture. He wanted to do a lot of Hellenization, spreading of the Asian Greek culture and religion and language to the fallen people. As a result, he faced a lot of opposition from his own countrymen, and they tried to assassinate him. One time when he was traveling back from Rome, and his convoy was being attacked, and he was presumed dead. And word got back to Pergamon, and his younger brother, Attalos II, ascended to the throne and also married his wife. Actually, the assassination was not successful. So not long after, this Eumenes come back and live in Pergamon. So what would you do if you were King Attalos? Do you welcome your brother back? Or do you kill him? How come you have no response? Welcome him back? Kill him. Yeah. Chinese emperor, no mercy. No, even you and my brother, I'm going to kill you to consolidate my power, right? But this king did not do that. He said, brother, this is your throne. Come back. Be enthroned again. What a great brother, isn't it? Okay, so this is a story, okay? So he loved his brother. He did not betray his brother. He let his older brother come back and rule on the throne again. Moreover, at that time, Greek's influence is kind of like spreading along the Asia Minor. And Philadelphia is on most of the major roads to different nations like Lydia or Mysia. That's why it is strategically located to spread the ancient Greek culture, religion, and language to fallen people. Hellenization opened many doors of opportunities. It also opened the door for the Christian in the city of Philadelphia to spread the gospel to the neighboring nations. Jesus said to the church in Philadelphia, I have placed before you an open door. Jesus revealed himself to the church as being holy. And he said, I'm the holy God. I set apart the church to be holy as well. Jesus said that I am the truth. And also he has the authority to hold the keys of David. What does it mean? Whenever you have a key, you have what? Access, right? Sometimes a city would give a key of the city to a member of the society or some celebrity or some dignitary. That means he has free access to open the door to the city. Your car key, your house key, your key to the safe, and your church key. Who holds the most key has the most power. Eugene holds all the keys of the church. So he's not here, so I can make fun of him today. He is the most powerful person in the church. Oh. Christ wants the church to know that I hold the keys to the kingdom of God. I hold the key. And he said that when I open the door, no one can shut. When he gave the great commission to the disciple, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth is on me. Brother and sister, Jesus is also telling you that I'm holding the keys. I'm opening the door for you. How would you respond? from this scripture, we can have, you should ask yourself three questions. Number one, when God opened a door for you, do you see opportunity or do you see obstacles? What is this door that Jesus refers to? Sometimes we interpret Bible according to our own desires and wish. Sometimes we will say, God is opening a job opportunity, a door for me to advance in my career. Some may say that, God has opened a door for me to do an investment that can make more money. Or for younger people, God is opening a door for you to go after your crush. And when we have opportunity like that, you would jump on it right away, do you? Pastor Douglas, would you? But you're too old now, so you don't. Jesus is not talking about this kind of door. He said that I'm opening a door to my kingdom, opening a door to share the gospel. Do you seize the moment of opportunity? As a matter of fact, Jesus teaches a lot about seizing the day. Let's read John chapter 9, verses 4. 1, 2, 3. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent. Night is coming when no one can work. We need to seize the opportunity while it is day. We do not know when the door will close. Paul knows it real well. The door to share the gospel is not always open. In the books of Acts chapter 16, when he was trying to go to Asia Minor, the door was shut by who? Holy Spirit. And then he saw a vision, a man from Macedonia begging him to come. Come to Macedonia. And this is the famous Macedonian call. The Holy Spirit opened the door. The Holy Spirit shuts the door. When we look at the modern church history, we see that doors are not always open. Sometimes they are closed. Many of the Northern African nations, some of the Muslim nation, most of the Muslim nation, North Africa, North Korea, they are still closed. China, under the Cultural Revolution, churches and Christians were being persecuted severely, and the churches almost wiped out. And then in the 70s, it begins to open again. The doors are open and the church is springing up. And there's tremendous growth in the last 40, 50 years. However, it seems like the door is closing now. The government has a very tight grip on the religion. They are burning churches, burning buildings, expelling missionaries, have a close monitoring of the church activities. Under the Pol Pot regime, Christianity was basically wiped out in Cambodia. In 1990, the door began to open, wide open, and CNMA went in and established churches. And you know what? Right now, there are almost like 300,000 Christians in Cambodia. Is that right, O'Brien? Yes? Or more? 2% of the population. Paul knows it real well that the door of gospel is not always open. That's why he said that, pray with me. I'm staying at Ephesus. A great door of effective work has opened for me so that many would know Christ. When God opened the door for you, do you see opportunity or do you see obstacles? Unbelief sees obstacle, but faith sees opportunity. Preaching the gospel has never meant to be easy. And the church in Philadelphia has a lot of obstacle and they have a lot of limitation as well. When Jesus addressed to this church, he said that, I know that you have little strength. This is not exactly a compliment, isn't it? What if Jesus is standing before us today and say, SJCAC, I know that you have little strength. Jesus did not say that you are mighty warriors. You are powerful. You can do all things. But Jesus said that you are little of little strength. Philadelphia was not a big church. They have a very small congregation. They have only a few people. They are not very talented. They are not financially sound. But yet, they obey Jesus and being faithful to him. and they are definitely not the mega church of our time. Recently, I visited a Southern California mega church. I won't name name, okay? I came back very impressed. Everything is perfect. Everything is staged. Everything is excellent. Lighting is impeccable. Smoke coming out on stage to create a very mysterious and mystic mood. Music was excellent, well planned. Message was funny and entertaining. Campus was sparkling clean and well maintained. As a matter of fact, going to worship in that kind of church is like going to Disneyland. It's an experience to be treasured. After the visit, I looked up their church staff. I found something very interesting. On their staff, they have a pastor called the Weekend Experience Pastor and First Impression Pastor. Pastor Ted, maybe we should hire someone like that. I'm not sure what that means, Weekend Experience Pastor and First Impression Pastor. Probably they are trying to create an experience that very, very tremendous, and people all feel very welcome. We people dress nicely, sit down prettily, engage in the experience beautifully, and after a great experience, they all go home. God's intention for the church is not just to have an experience. Jesus said, I have opened the door for you. Do you seize the opportunity? It is not the size or the strength of a church that determines its effectiveness in ministry, but being faithful to his calling. In their weakness, they trust in the Lord. They step out in faith, knowing God would help them. Brother and sister, we may be weak, but our God is strong. Amen? This is Paul's teaching. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. Paul is boasting his weakness so that Christ's power can be on him, he said. As a matter of fact, the beginning of revival is the self-realization of our own weakness and brokenness. In this day and age, weakness is to be avoided at all cost. We are trained to be strong. We have the best school, best education, best job, best technology, best medicine, best living standard, and best basketball team. And unfortunately, it's no longer true. I'm still devastated. We are meant to be strong. We are meant to be strong. We go to conference to make us stronger. Enlightenment, embolden, empower, soar. We never go to a weakness conference to teach us how to be meek and humble and broken. We try to be our own savior. We solve our own problem. We rely on our own strength. After every mass shooting, every city tried to be strong. Hashtag Gilroy strong. Hashtag Boston strong. We are strong people living in a strong country. We always act strong. But yet God can only use us when we admit that we are weak and we are people of little strength. Brother and sister, the ministry of the gospel is a spiritual battle. Preaching the gospel is a ministry of life and death. And we have been entrusted with this ministry of life and death. And Jesus wants to fight for the war for us. We are pulling people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And it is difficult. It is difficult when we rely on our own strength. God can only use people of little strength. Tell the one next to you, you are people of little strength. Go. Don't think that you are mighty.
He promised that he will fight a battle for us. We rely on him. You know that our God always wins. Amen? And he is not asking us to have some kind of grandiose, magnificent plan to win the city for him. He's asking us, are you willing to give up your little strength for me to use? A.B. Simpson, our founder, he pastored a church at age 30 in a very prestigious Presbyterian church in New York City. God opened the door for him to minister to some newly immigrant from Italy. He led over 100 laborers to know Christ. He appealed to his church to accept this new immigrant, but was met with strong opposition from the church. He eventually resigned. Without a pulpit, without any income, he was immediately transformed from a very prominent pastor to become a very insignificant person. Yet God put a vision in his heart. The fire of the Holy Spirit was burning in his heart. He gathered some like-minded people into a small room by the fireplace and pray and read the Bible. And they came across Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. He knelt down, they pray. There were only a few people who seemed very weak and powerless, but they believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. After that gathering, they gathered often to cry out to the Lord for the 2 million people living in New York City at that time. Dr. Simpson mourned for the indifference of the church to the needs of this lost soul. He called out the church, "Wake up, church!" He then set up the gospel tabernacle in the heart of the city, reaching out to the poor, the homeless, the sick, the displaced. Anyone would be welcome. And this desire of him later on turned into an insatiable desire for world evangelization. He proceeded to hold evangelism meeting and become KM meeting, become revival meeting, and this is the beginning of the CNMA. Dr. Simpson loved the lost soul. The Spirit of God was upon him to mourn and pray for the city. And from a person becoming a movement, and this is the CNMA. After 130 years, CNMA now has influence and presence in almost every part of the world. In the last General Council, I was standing before the display of the country flags. Each flag represents one country that CNMA has ministry and influence. I was very moved indeed. Brother and sister, we have a good heritage. Do you want to reach the nation for Christ? Do you want to reach the city of San Jose for Christ? Yes? Is it possible? Really? When you have unbelief, you only see obstacle. But when you have faith, you see there's plenty of opportunity. In November this year, we will have a citywide outreach here in San Jose. I'm doing some advertising right now, okay? It will be in our backyard, the San Jose Giants Stadium. Many churches, 100 organizations will partner together to bring hope to the poor and the underprivileged of the city. There will be free turkey. Okay, you can go line up. Free haircut. An hour of game or face painting. Potential job placement. Helping the veteran to get the benefit they deserve. A smile or simply a prayer can bring hope to the people that is hopeless. Our church will be part of this citywide outreach effort, and we will be responsible for publicity. Yee! So Pastor Ted gave the ball to me, so I'm now doing all this organization, okay? We need to publicize the events and let the whole city know that there is hope. Amen? It's going to be old school, not sending through your phone. We need to do it door to door. We need 150 volunteers, soldiers, to march around the city of San Jose 3 times, giving out flyers and door hangers and pray and surround the city 3 times. Jericho needs 7 times. San Jose only needs 3 times, okay? So we will be like reaching all the homes around the stadium, 3 mile radius, and that would include the homes of Pastor David Cao. So we would send a door hanger to his door, and he can receive a free turkey. And I was in the planning meeting, and it was such a joy to see all these churches work together for the kingdom of God. And the Bible said that when brother dwell in unity, and there's much, what? Anointing from the Lord. Can I count on you, brothers and sisters? All right, I'm trying my best to do advertising, okay? Can I count on you? Okay. Mark down the day, okay? November 23rd, right before Thanksgiving. Brother and sister, what door has the Lord opened for you lately, personally? Have you responded to the opportunity? Maybe this is an unbelieving family member who is sick. Maybe it's a coworker who got laid off. Maybe your buddy in the gym. Maybe it's a friend in the school who got bullied. Maybe it's a neighbor who is going through divorce. I have an ex-neighbor who I bump into one day during exercise. And after some friendly chit-chat, and then we said, oh, maybe we should come together for dinner. So he said, okay, let me get some food and bring to your home. I said, no, just come. We will have a simple dinner. So he came with his son. And then over the dinner, he shared with me the pain of going through a divorce. Actually, he's not that old, but he already had two divorces in his life. The first wife was mentally sick, ill, so the marriage ended. The second wife was going after his money, so the split was very ugly with lawsuit and court battles and stuff like that. He was very troubled, and then he went to see a psychologist. And then I asked him, did the counseling sessions help you at all? And he said, nah, not really. And when I went to my psychologist, she basically said, you are very messed up. Hello, everyone knows that he is messed up. So don't waste your money to go to a psychologist, okay? But then the psychologist wanted to know more about his background. He said, let me do some family history exercise to see your past trauma and experience and how you are being shaped the person you are now. And as I was listening to it, it really smells like soul care material. So I immediately responded, our church is using a book called Soul Care. Are you interested? He said, yeah. And then I said, okay, if I get you the book, would you read it? He said, yes. So I end up buying him the book. And I hope one day, after some time, I will go through and process the material with him again. Brother and sister, lift up your eyes to see there are many open doors for you to share Christ. Seize the day. Don't let the opportunity slip away. Second question you need to ask. When God opens a door for you, are you being faithful or are you being fearful? Being a Christian in the first century is very hard, especially in Asia Minor, where people are trying to appease Caesar. So they have all these emperor statues and the temple for people to do emperor worship. If you do not do that, you will be marginalized by the society, not be able to do any business. Some people would even be severely persecuted, imprisoned, even beheaded and burned alive. Moreover, Christians in Asia Minor also face persecution from their own people. Verses 9 said the synagogues of Satan, those are the Jewish people, persecute the Jewish Christian. Churches in Philadelphia, the people live in a very hostile environment. It's not easy to witness for Christ. Yet they remain faithful and persevere. Jesus said, you have kept my word. You have not denied my name. Moreover, you endure patiently. Ministry of the gospel takes a lot of patience and endurance. Sometimes you can share Christ faithfully, but you may not see any result for years. in the Cantonese congregation, there are at least a few stories like this. Some of the family we're trying to reach out for years. We're talking about 10 years plus. But then there's still no result. We keep visiting them, sharing the gospel with them, helping them with all the potential needs, but they are still very stubborn. I find out that older men are the hardest to evangelize. Right? Like me. Like Yong. Older man, tough. Tough as nail. Not snail, nail. They have been to all our evangelistic meeting, Alpha dinner, Thanksgiving retreat, but they still see no need of accepting Christ. Very stiff neck. But then, finally, God humbled each one of them. The first gentleman, he had late in the last few years, he was battling cancer. And we visited him a lot of time in the hospital. And finally, I asked him the question, Mr. Such and Such, do you know that this God loves you dearly? And he died on the cross for your sins. Do you want to accept him as your savior? And to my surprise, he said yes. And it's after 10 years of laboring. He was baptized last December, and God took him away a few months ago. There's another story about a gentleman who escaped from Vietnam as a refugee. At that time, he promised his Queen of Heaven, if you protect my life, if I can escape from this country, I will worship you all the rest of my life. And he was bound by this vow for the rest of his life. He had built two big shrines in his house, like worshiping different idols. For years, we have been witnessing to him. He came to our service faithfully every Sunday, yet he never willing to throw away the idols because of this vow. God has his timing. The last few years, his supermarket business failed and he lost a lot of money. Then he also battled liver cancer. While he was very sick in the ICU, I visited him again. I said, such and such, are you willing to forsake your Queen of Heaven and accept this God and Jesus who died for you unconditionally? And he nodded. And right there, I baptized him in the ICU. And it's a miracle. Praise the Lord. Do you see any similarity? Sick bed. Visiting someone in the hospital is a very fruitful ministry. And this is a story I read from Alliance Life. How many of you have read this story? It's very, very inspiring. So I will share briefly what this story is all about. There's a pastor in Wisconsin, and before he became a pastor, he is also a drug addict. He was abusing drugs. In his desperation, he cried out to, Lord, if you save my life, you can have every day from now on. And God saved him, restored his marriage. And God put him a desire to create a place where men like him can be rich with the gospel. And he thinks that the traditional church environment may not be the most ideal place. So he started a gym. How many of you go to the gym every day? It can be your ministry place. Church in a gym. Hallelujah. Woo! And then he met this guy, Tim, is on your left-hand side. And when you see this guy, do you see hope or do you see like no hope? Tim was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, and he was bullied when he was young, and then he resorted to violence and attacking other people. Finally, in high school, he fell even deeper into satanic worship, just want to get accepted and feel loved. Then he started doing drugs, promiscuous. He was jailed multiple times, and every time when he came out, he went right back to his old way of life. And while this is going on, this Pastor Kelvin and his wife reach out to him, inviting him over for dinner, working out with him, getting tattoo from him. I think this is outrageous, okay? So maybe being a pastor, we're not supposed to have tattoo, right? But for the sake of the gospel. then, the more this guy was presented with the gospel, the worse he became. After 5 long years, this Pastor Calvin gave up. I can't handle this anymore. He walked away feeling that he has failed. But God has his timing. One day, while this Tim and his wife were high again, I don't know what they are smoking, and they remember a satanic song that referenced the book of Revelation. Interesting, isn't it? So then this Tim and opened to the book of Revelation, and then he said that that night they read the whole book of Revelation together. That is the moment of turning point for Tim. Since then, he began to listen to the Bible apps. He begins to talk to the client and said that if the client read the psalm to me, I will give them a discount. And he also stopped like selling drugs. And then one day, Tim called up this pastor, say, will you come down to my shop and read me the Bible? I want to receive the Holy Spirit. So this pastor could not believe his ear. Bro, you must be high. Is it a joke? He said, no, I'm serious. Come over, read the Bible to me and tell me about Jesus, and I will tattoo you for free. For the sake of the gospel, yeah. He cannot believe his ears, so he went right away. Right at that time, he knew that something is changing, is working in this person's life. Cognitively, he still did not believe it would happen. Cognitively, he knows God can do all things, but the heart does not believe. But then they talk hours and hours, and later on, he knows this guy is truly repentant. And they kneel down to pray, and they were sobbing uncontrollably. This team was baptized in this church in the gym. Brother and sister, unbelief only sees obstacle, but faith sees the opportunities. When you have unbelief, you only see obstacle, but when you have faith, you see the opportunities. Who are you today? Lastly, we need to ask, temporal or eternal? When God opened a door for you, do you seize the day? Do you look at your own little strength, or do you only look at the obstacles? Brother and sister, let me tell you, they are all temporal. We need to set our eyes on the eternal. Jesus promised to the church in Philadelphia 3 things. Number one, I will take care of your enemies. Tell the one next to you, I will take care of your enemies. Those who persecute you will one day bow down before you. And this is the promise of God. Hallelujah. And he said that I will save you from the hour of trial, which is the coming tribulation that is going to come on the earth. And lastly, he will give us reward. A crown of glory. And Jesus said that I will make you into a pillar in the temple of my God. In ancient cities, they often honor great leaders by erecting pillars and have the name written on them. And the temple of the Solomon has 2 pillars. On the left is Jacob, means he will establish. And on the right is Boaz, the strength is within him. In the future, the temple of God is not made of stone. It will be made of you. You will be made a pillar in the temple of God. And God said, I will write my name on you. And the name of the new city of Jerusalem will also be on you. Let us not be ashamed of Christ. Let us seize the opportunity when he opened the door for us. For he said that I will take care of your enemy. And I will make you a pillar in my temple one day with the name of God and the name of the city of Jerusalem on you. Maybe today you feel like you are this little church in Philadelphia. Jesus said, I know that you have little strength. By you, by yourself, you probably cannot accomplish much. But you need to look up. Jesus is the cornerstone. In him,
the weak made strong. And we have this promise of Him that He will take care of our enemies. And He will one day make us into a pillar in His temple, with the name of God and the name of the city of Jerusalem written on us. So, brother and sister, I ask you today, may you can do a response today, that God has opened a door for you today, and you want to respond and you want to step right into it. I ask that you sing the chorus, you'll come forward, we'll pray for you, we'll ask Pastor Ted to pray for you. We sing the chorus, come out, say, Lord, I am a people, little string, but in you the weak make strong. I strongly believe that. And I want to respond to your calling, for you have already opened a door for me. I ask you to come forward and receive the blessing.
God inviting us this morning. I know we don't have a lot of time to pray individually, but I feel that we need to respond in faith, especially for those people who... you feel like you're weak right now. You just have very little strength to go on. Even this opportunity that the Lord is opening, you just feel like you don't have the strength. I think the Lord really is inviting us this morning, not to look at our own weakness, but really have a glimpse of what is possible through Him. So I'm going to ask you, if there are just a few of you, even you want to just receive strength from the Lord, this blessing that God has for us, just make a step forward. I'm not gonna ask you to fill the altar, but will you just take a step forward and just make an active response towards where God is calling us? And I wanna bless over you. Just come a little closer. Don't be shy. We're a family. So those of you who just need this extra strength today from the Lord, not only to just survive this life and move on, but to really step into where God is calling us, just make a step out of your chair, and I ask you to open your hands before the Lord. Let's just wait just for a few moments. Of our own hearts and our own soul, and we invite you to strengthen us, fill us, and empower us. Father, we receive these open opportunities not as a burden to carry or duty to be fulfilled, but Lord, we're seeing just your glimpse of your heart today, your heart for the lost, your heart for the world. Lord, we simply ask you, will you use us? Even in our weakness, Lord, will you make your strength and your power known to us? We access this authority that has been given to Jesus Christ. All authority on heaven and earth, Lord, it now belongs to us because you're giving us the key to access that authority. Make us bold Christians. Make us your sons and daughters who are filled with the power of your Holy Spirit as we go from this place. We cease to look at our own brokenness, but we look to you today as a source of our strength and power. Will you extend our borders? Will you extend our influence? Will you extend our territories, Lord, as we go from this place? Give us confidence in knowing that, Lord, it is you who is at work through us to save the lost and transform those people that you bring into our lives, Lord. So we receive this gifting.